1 Timothy chapter 3 this morning for the reading of God's Word. You'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 1 through 5. I'll read the odds, verses 1, 3, and 5, if you'll read with me verses 2 and 4 this morning. And if you found 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you'll stand in reading the honor of God's Word this morning. And I'll start in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine or striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading. Thank you for Father's Day. Lord, we thank you for our Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that you would bless again the message this morning. Be with our preachers. He brings it, Holy Spirit. Bring upon this place and be here with us this morning. Lord, I pray you bless this special. Prepare our hearts again for the message. In your name we pray. Amen.
Like a prodigal son, I wandered in darkness, and I traded my life for worldly good time. No peace in my heart I ever could find, and I got so tired of eating after the swine. So I believe I'll go home and eat with the Father. The table is spread and they're waiting for me. I can see the Father coming down to greet me. Lord, I'm willing to be just a servant for Thee. Like a prodigal son, I wandered from Jesus. But the good shepherd saw, through the heat and the cold, the 99 he left in the fold. Just to find this lost sheep that was hungry and cold. So I believe I'll go home and eat with the Father. The table is spread and they're waiting for me. I can see the Father coming down to greet me. Lord, I'm willing to be just a servant for Thee. So I believe I'll go home and eat with the Father. The table is spread and they're waiting for me. I can see the Father coming down to greet me. Lord, I'm willing to be just a servant for Thee. Lord, I'm willing to be just a servant for Thee.
Brother Dan, for that good song this morning. Thank you so much. Is it a little loud out there for you folks today? Are you hearing all right? Is it overbearing? Brother Greg, give me a little bit of volume here on the platform for us. I preached at a tent meeting this past Monday and Tuesday night in Muskegon, Michigan. That's always fun. Tent meetings bring out strange folks. Amen. Always bring out strange folks. And it was a lot of fun up in Muskegon. But, boy, I sweat. And even though the weather was comfortable, just, I know something about the tent. And my voice is a little raspy today. So if you could give me a little help there, Brother Greg, I'd appreciate it. I have the message I was going to preach two Sunday mornings ago, still prepared. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's in the back of my other sermon book, and I probably will preach it next Sunday morning. It's the message continuing on part three of Prayer 101. And I want to finish that, preaching through the model prayer there in Matthew 6 and Luke chapter 11. But, of course, 2 weeks ago, I talked about our church on our anniversary Sunday. Last Sunday was up in Michigan. And then now this Sunday, it's Father's Day. And I just really feel impressed to speak to dads today, and not just to dads. This will be for some wives and folks in the home as well. And then tonight, I am almost positive that I'm going to come back with part two of this, kind of more of a how-to type message tonight that's on my heart. But I want to speak to you on man's responsibility in the home. Man's responsibility in the home. Now, I want you to look at verse number five. Actually, verse number four. Look at it here. The Bible says, one that ruleth well his own house. And then he said in verse 5, for if a man know not how to rule his own house. Look down at verse number, I knew I was going to do this, verse number 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own house as well. That causes our society to pale. Rule? That's what I want to speak on this morning. Doesn't cause me to pale. I hope it doesn't cause you to pale. I want to speak on man's responsibility in the home. Let's pray together. Father, we're glad to be in church. Thankful for your word. Spirit, we need you. Oh, would you please help us today and empower the words that come out of my lips. I pray, God, you'll control every thought that comes into my mind, every word that comes off my tongue and lips. And that, Lord, you'll also empower our ears to be able to hear what the Spirit would say to our hearts this morning. How desperately we need what this passage teaches. So, Lord, be with me today. Help me, I pray, as the messenger for your word's sake. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen. If you were given the task of fixing America's problems, I'm talking about the problems that plague our society, where would you begin? That would probably be the biggest thing, right? Where would you begin? I mean, with the preponderance of issues that need to be addressed in our country, I think safely we can say that wherever you started, it would not be time wasted, right? Now, I can think of several areas that I would place in the top 5 to 7 to begin on immediately. And one of those would be the matter that I am speaking on this morning. Now, no doubt there are many issues that could be addressed that concern the men of this country. There is a horrendous lack of responsibility on the part of multiplied thousands of men. Responsibilities of manhood are being neglected and avoided. And as I taught in Sunday school, they're being run from in our society today. And I'm referring to responsibilities in many areas. I'm talking about marriage, of course, and child rearing and work and personal character and finances. There's so much that needs to be addressed. But my time in the next several minutes is going to be used for something other than speaking toward those issues. Okay? One of the major problems I would deal with is the stigma that has been attached to the concept of the man ruling his house. There's a stigma with that, fellas. You know, the most normal and natural thing when it comes to a family unit is to have a man ruling over it. That's the most normal and natural thing. The absolute most normal and natural thing. We were in Elgin for church last Sunday night. We got back late Sunday evening after the service. We went to church in Michigan Sunday morning. And then we made the drive around the lake and saw Jason, Hannah, and the boys a little bit. And then went to Brother Gomez. And Brother Gomez was saying, the most natural, normal thing for a man is to grow a beard. And so I'm thinking, okay. And I don't know if I can make that happen or not. But anyway, I'm saying the most normal and natural thing when it comes to a family unit is to have a man ruling over it. Now, this text contains the characteristics and the qualities that God looks for when considering a man for the offices of pastor and deacon. That's what this whole chapter, not the whole chapter, but the first part of the chapter is all about. And let me say this today, just by way of introduction. I believe there is a difference between a call of God to preach and God choosing a man to pastor a church. You know, the pastor should have a call to preach. It's one of the things that he does. But to be honest with you, folks, the pastor does a lot more besides just preach. You know, very, very, really, percentage-wise, a small amount of my time is spent behind this pulpit. Now, when you add in preparation time, yes, it grows. So the pastor should have a call to preach, but he's got responsibilities in other places. Not every man called to preach has a call to pastor. There are good men all across this country that God is using greatly to preach that don't pastor churches. Okay? And so I believe there's a difference. I don't have time to go into the words used in the New Testament for the office of a pastor, but the word found in chapter number 3, verses 1 and 2 there, the word bishop, that is one of the words used for the office of pastor in the New Testament. I don't have time to go into my personal beliefs about deacons. You see that in verse number 8, likewise must the deacons be grave. To me, what we read about as Bible deacons sounds more like modern day assistant pastors, but no matter what, that's not up for argument this morning. However you interpret the pastor, the deacon, this passage is about men that God would want to lead a New Testament church. Right? That's what it's about. Now again, I want you to look at verse number 4. He says about these men that I want to lead a New Testament church, one that ruleth well his own house. And then he said in verse number 5, if a man know not how to rule his own house. And then he said about the deacons in verse number 12, ruling their children and their own house as well. So watch me now. God says to a New Testament church, when you are considering a man for a pastor, when you're considering a man for a deacon or an assistant pastor, and you're looking at the pool of good godly men who are out there, from that pool of men, you choose one who rule their own houses well. Rule their own houses. Now, fellas, listen very carefully. To me, this sounds like a characteristic that God is looking for from every man, not just a pastor or an assistant pastor or a deacon. He's not saying there's only a few men out there who rule their houses. That's not what he's saying. He's saying make sure that the one you choose from the pool of men who are ruling their own, who are out there, you make sure you choose one who is ruling his own house well. Now look, secular America, and really the truth of the matter is many in sacred America, they turn pale at that kind of terminology. Rule? You mean like a lord? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You mean a man is to rule over his own... Well, I think that's what we read in three places in this passage right here. Rule over his own house. I repeat, there is nothing more normal, there's nothing more natural than a man ruling over his own house. Now, part of the problem, I'll admit, part of the problem is that men have failed to man up. That's part of the problem. No doubt about it. You know, over in 1 Kings chapter 2, we won't turn there this morning, but David is soon to die, and he had Solomon, his son, come in for some last-minute counsel, some last words. And he said to his son in verse number 2 of that chapter, he said, I go the way of all the earth. What he said is, I'm going to die. I'm leaving this world soon. Then he says this, be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Now, fellas, somehow this has got to go hand in glove with what I taught in Sunday school. Somehow, some way, what he was saying to Solomon was this. Solomon, you need to man up. You need to live out your manhood. You need to live up to the responsibilities of manhood. And fellas, I think the way we do that is to depend less on ourselves and more on God. Okay? But nonetheless, we need to step up to the responsibility. Step up to the responsibilities of manhood. And that's what David is telling Solomon. He's saying, you show yourself a man. Don't you run from the responsibilities of manhood. Don't you cower from those responsibilities. You step up to the plate. You be exactly what a man is supposed to be. And I want to repeat, we have an epidemic of manhoodlessness in this country today. If you read the little thing that I wrote into the bulletin there about Father's Day, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. It doesn't take a whole lot for a man to bring a child into this world. God kind of took care of that with His creation. But it takes a real man to bring a kid up in this world. It takes a man who will seize the responsibilities of manhood. And the attitude of about men ruling their own homes has not helped men out of their passiveness. You've got this pervasive passiveness that is just permeating the men of our society today. And I want to tell you something. I think the attitude about it, there is such a stigma attached to the idea. There is such a stigma attached to the concept of a man ruling his whole house, ruling his house. But friend, this is so biblical and it's so right and it is so productive, and modern society has made it novel. What? You think you ought to rule your house? You think you ought to rule your home? Yeah, that's what the modern society says. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of women who carry that attitude. A lot. And by the way, it's not just in unsaved circles. It's in saved circles as well. And I'm simply telling you something. In fact, that's a little bit tight in here right now, but that's okay. I can handle it. I always figure it's coming when you get on this subject. Even in an independent Baptist church, you're supposed to believe what God said in His Word. And you know, God doesn't repeat Himself because He ran out of something to say. If He repeats Himself, it's for sake of emphasis. And He says, rule, 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 rule. And society goes, ah, ah. And they turn pale in the face at this idea, this concept. And so I'm talking about the men, the men of this church, I have said it before, I'll continue to say it, the men of this church should never feel badly because you want to rule your house. That's something God made you to do. And you should not feel like you're some kind of Neanderthal caveman. Truth of the matter is, you should feel badly if you don't rule your home. And the idea of ruling the home cuts against the grain. It goes against the flow of what is accepted as normal in our society today. But I want to tell you something. The men of God don't care about the flow. They really don't. They care about being what God wants them to be. And that's what I'm concerned about. The man ruling his own home. Now, bear with me. I'm not talking. You got to be a dictator. No. But close. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Give you a chance to breathe, okay? It's amazing. Now let me ask this. What does it mean to rule? What does it mean to rule? I mean, okay, well, let's go through history and find out what kind of rulers there have been. Well, you know, there's been all kinds of rulers and many different concepts of what ruling is. But what does it mean? When the Bible says that a man ought to rule his own house, what's it saying? What's it mean? Well, you know, one of the best ways to define Bible terms is to use the Bible. And one of the best ways to define a Bible term is to find out the first time the word is ever used in the Bible and see how God uses it. So I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 1. Because that's the Bible. That's the first place in the Bible where God uses the word rule. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Of course, Genesis chapter 1 contains the account of God's creation. And in verses 14 through 19, you've got the description of the fourth day of creation. I won't take time to read verses 14 through 19 right now. But it's the fourth day of creation. Okay, describing the fourth day of God's creative work. And yes, God created the world and all things that are therein. He created the planetary system. He created man. He created woman. He made the animals. He made the birds. He made the fish. None of this evolved from a gaseous explosion. He created it, and He created it in 6 days. And then He rested on day 7. Now this is day 4, okay? Look at verse number 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. Now just read right there for right now. God said in verse number 14, let there be lights. Now stop. That's interesting, isn't it? Because what happened on the first day of creation? God said, let there be light. And there was light. So there's already light. God created light. That was His first work of creation. I think it's found in verse number 3 or 4. In verse number 3 or 4, God said, let there be light. There was light. So the first work of creation was light. So there's already light in the cosmic universe. But in verse number 14, God says, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven. So light had already been created, and that was the very first creative work. There was already light, but now God created something. Now, don't miss this. I'm going to go somewhere with this in a little bit. God created something to bear the light to the earth. Let there be lights in the firmament. There's already light out here in this cosmic big old universe. But now I'm going to put specific lights in the sky. And the responsibility of these lights is to bear light to the earth. Now, look at verse number 14. We'll read on here, verse number 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. Watch it now. To divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So God said, I'm going to put these bodies, these bearers of light in the sky, and these bodies that are going to bear the light to the earth are also going to be for division. They're going to be for seasons and days and years. So God, in this great big universe that was full of light, created lights in the firmament to bear light to the earth and to give order and structure. Before we had clocks or watches on our riches, our watches on our wrist is, there it is, on our wrist. How did man tell time? The sun. Remember Acts chapter 27 when Paul is on that ship and the Euroclodon comes? And they lose their way. He said the sun nor the moon had appeared in any days. They lost track of time. They lost track of their direction because the lights that God created, the bodies of light that God created to give direction, to bring order, were covered up by the clouds. Now let's look at verse number 16 in Genesis chapter 1. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now we know what those lights are called. Those lights are called sun, moon, stars. So here's this universe full of this light. And God said, I need something to bear light to the people on planet Earth. I'm going to create man on day six. I'm going to create woman. They're going to multiply and replenish the earth. That's how you know marriage is between a man and a woman. Amen. And they're going to replenish the earth. And the people on my planet Earth are going to need a body in the firmament to bear light so that they can have light and heat and warmth and so forth. And they're also going to need this light for division and days and seasons and months and years. Structure and order. So God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. In Psalm 136, now watch this. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, the Lord of lords, to Him that made great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night. So the sun rules the day, the moon and stars rule the night, and man is supposed to rule his house. So what can I learn from this? How does a man rule his house? Well, how does the sun and the moon and the stars rule over the day and night? Just a couple of things for us this morning, fellas, we're done. Number one, a man rules his house by bearing light. He bears light to his house. You see, dad, husband, has the responsibility of bearing light to and light for the family. Light that gives direction, light that gives guidance, light that gives vision, light that gives understanding, light that gives discernment. Now, fellas, God is light. And the Word of God is light. And Jesus is light. And man in himself is not the light, but man is to be the bearer of light. That's how a man rules his house. He bears light to those in his household. If we're going to bear light for and to our family, we're going to have to walk in the light. Now, no man can properly bear light for his house without spending some time in the light. You with me, gentlemen? Yeah, Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. And a man who spends no time in God's word, walking in God's light, is going to fail at bearing light for his family. And folks, listen to me. As long as God gives me sound mind and breath to preach from behind this pulpit, you want me to be your pastor, I am not straying far from this theme that God's people need to be in God's book. If you think for one minute that the people of Faith Baptist Church have crossed that line and jumped that hurdle once and for all, you better think again. You better sit back in the counseling room and listen. To men admit, I read my Bible in 2 years. I haven't read my Bible in 30 days. Here. I haven't read my Bible in 3 weeks. Fellas, how in the world is any man ever going to bear light for his wife and his family if you don't walk in the light? This will never go away. We have to say it and 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 say it. No man is ever going to be for his family what they need apart from this book. Get into it, man. Say, well, I don't get much out of it. Read it anyway. Well, it didn't make sense yesterday. Read it tomorrow. Well, I just, you know, read it. Get into it, fellas. Walk in the light of God's Word. A man could provide a lot of things for his family, but if he doesn't walk in God's light, he will not bear light. You with me this morning, gentlemen? We got to bear light to our families. Bear, that's what the sun and the moon and the stars do. They bear light. And by the way, God had already created the cosmic light out in the universe, and now the sun and the moon and the stars are just the bodies through which that light comes to the earth. And I'm not good enough in my own strength to be what my family needs, but I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. I have a book of light right here that I can read and find some light for my family. You know, I remember some years ago when Caleb Reardon graduated from high school, and they, you know, with the seniors, we come by for a talk, and Caleb was contemplating two different Bible colleges, and then he was contemplating journalism, and boy, I really like to write. And Caleb was a good writer. He wrote for our newspaper. He wrote for the Kankakee Daily Journal. He did the high school sports section, and he would be responsible for finding out the scores of the football and basketball games, writing a little excerpt about that in the paper. And he was a good writer. He was good at what he did. He had a good grasp on things. Comes to the English language and writing. But I remember him sitting back in the office back there, and really and truly, when it all came down to it, he didn't know what to do. Now he's 18 years old, and he's got a high school diploma, you know, about to get a high school diploma, but just a few months away from getting his high school diploma, and he has no idea what to do. I said, well, I bet you told him what to do. I didn't tell him what to do. Yeah, I told him what to do, but it's not what you think. I said, Caleb, so what you're saying is you don't know what to do. He said, that's right. And you really would be happy at any one of the Bible colleges, and you'd be happy going for a degree in journalism. He said, yeah, I really would. Preacher, I don't know. And he said, I can see him in my mind's eye right now, sitting back in the chair. It was almost like he felt badly. He felt defeated because he didn't know what to do. He sat back and he just said, no, I don't know what to do. I said, you got a dad at home. Why don't you go home, sit down with your dad, and say, Dad, I don't know what to do. Whatever you tell me to do is what I'll do. And I could do that, friend, because I knew he had a dad who walked in the light. I knew he had a dad who walked in the light. And that young man went home and sat down with his dad, and he and his dad talked it out. And Caleb is where he is today, happy as he can be in the will of God, because he had a dad, partly because he had a dad who was the bearer of light for his family. Y'all with me this morning, huh? Sometimes we say, fellas, rule the house. Well, how do you do it? What does it mean? You bear light for your family. By bearing light for the family. And even though we don't have any light in and of ourselves, we have to get it from somebody else. And you better get it from the right source. Because Jesus said, if the light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? You start running to the internet looking on Dr. Phil and some of these other self-help books for light, and you're going to be in a world of trouble. Better get in this book right here. Better walk in the light. Number two, how does a man rule in his own home? By bearing light. Number two, by bringing order. By bringing order. Isn't that what God said the sun, the moon, the stars do? They divide structure, time, days, months, years, seasons. We chart our calendars by the moon. Everything is structured by the stars and the moon and the sun. Now, listen very carefully. By no stretch of the imagination am I saying that the wife or the mother is not useful or involved in the order of a home. She is absolutely, she is involved, but the man is the one that God holds responsible for bringing order to the home. Now, let me tell you a phrase that is too often spoken. Go ask your mother. Amen, Brother Angel. That didn't go over real good. Go ask your mother. Go ask your mother. Go ask mom. Go. What do you think? Moms don't have any sense? Mom's got a lot of sense. Somewhere along the line, dad has to help lead in bringing order to his home. I don't know what to say sometimes. And you know what you can say? Son, I don't know the answer to that right now. Give me a day. Honey, I don't know. Look, people come up to me with Bible questions. Pastor, do you know over here in Ezekiel chapter 38 and all these wars? What do you think that means? You know, let me think on that. Let me pray about that for a day or two. I have no idea what that means. You know, I remember, I think I told you this. A brother asked me one time a question. I think it was out of Ezekiel, like 44. And I said, man, I don't know. Let me think on that. Pray. Let me think. And I went to the commentaries, you know. And I think it was Matthew Henry said, this is the most difficult chapter in the most difficult part in the whole Bible. This guy expects me to know the answer. Okay. Listen, I'm dead serious. I'm having a little fun right now. But there's been too many wives with choked voice and eyes full of tears, not bawling, but their eyes wet and their voice choked because their husband would not make a decision. He won't make a decision. Who's supposed to bring order? I know this is not popular this morning. I know this is going over like a lead balloon in some cases. But that's okay. Something's got to happen in our homes, folks. Because whatever's going on is not working. I want a man who can rule his own house. I don't mean some... You're an idiot. But I'm talking about a man who bears light and a man who bears order, for his family. I have talked to young people asking me for advice about their futures, and I'll say to them, what does your dad say? Talk to mom. You say, well, you don't think women know? Oh, listen to me. I'm celebrating today 34 years of being married to that woman over there. Time of my life. And she has rescued me on more than one occasion from my own stupidity. Come on, men. Many times. But I can say something from this pulpit this morning with the God of heaven listening and little ears that grew up in the home sitting here listening to me talk this morning, that not one time has she ever sought to rule. Suggest, opinion, advice, I think. But you know what she did, ladies? She pushed me in the role of decision making. Whatever you say. Well, if I do that, nothing will happen. Then let nothing happen. I'm talking about a society plagued with problems from top to bottom. And one of the problems is we have created or allowed society to create a stigma about a man ruling his house. That ought not so to be. It ought to be encouraged. And you mothers with little girls growing up in your home ought to be teaching them, and the little boys ought to be being taught as kids that when you marry, daddy leads and mom follows and advises and gives her opinion, but daddy rules, not in a dictator, but in the, I've got a responsibility to bear light and to bring order into this home. Fellas, he puts us in the home to bring order. These are the boundaries. These are the parameters. This is what we will do. This is what we will not do. This is what we will wear. This is what we will not wear. This is where we will go. This is where we will not go. This is what we will watch. This is what we will not watch. This is what we will listen to. This is what we won't listen to. So many things I want to say right now. You say, well, that's easy for you because, you know, yeah, blah, blah, blah. No, no. But a couple months ago, I had to step up and say, we're not going to. In my home, we're not going to. Well, who made that decision? Me. Who'd you talk to? God. In fact, God talked to me first. Can I have your attention? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. During one of the messages at Revival Fires Conference, sitting right there, God went whap. I had to step up and say, okay, this is not happening. I'm talking about ruling the way God intended for us to rule, fellas. By bringing light, by bearing light, and by bringing order to a home. And moms, wives, men, the wonderful group of ladies in this church that make up the bulk of the houses here, the family units. If you have a husband, a dad, if you have a dad that is bearing light and bringing order to your home, encourage him and be thankful and don't make it hard on him. He's only trying to do what God intended for him to do. And there is such a stigma today attached to the idea of a man running his home. Part of it's our fault. Some of us have run from the responsibility. You know, I would like to see dads at the altar this morning saying, oh God, please help me in the right spirit to rule my home. To bear light, to bring order. Not like some stuffed shirt dictator, like that little Korean guy over there. But a man who needs help of God. If you've got a husband like that lady, thank him. Thank him. You say, well, sometimes he's bellicose and gross and rude. I know, that's how we are. What do you want? That's what a lot of ladies have. Kids, if you've got a dad like that, don't make it hard to get along. Don't get along with him. Well, sometimes he tells me to change my... That's great. Amen. Thank God. You mean you got a dad that won't let you wear a certain blouse or a sweater out the house? Amen. Praise God. You got a man in your house. How about that? And you know what the problem is? Well, what a novel thing. It shouldn't be novel. It should be normal. It should be natural. Well, that's my Father's Day morning sermon. Now, tonight, we'll have the sequel. Part two. I studied that this week and I thought to myself, Lord, please. Mine are almost gone. Number five leaves the house in October, Lord willing, and then number six, a couple months later, probably, I don't know, but anyway. No. But boy, I want to, as long as God gives me life and breath and health, I want to bear light and I want to bring order in the right spirit to my house. Don't y'all want to do that? Isn't that biblical? Bear light and bring order. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Oh, Father in heaven, please help us. Our society is so full of troubles and problems. My. We can't change society, but Lord, we can change our heart. We can, with your grace and your power, change things for our homes, help our men, and help the wives that are married to them and the children. Help us men to bear light and bring order to our homes, Lord, please. And God, we recognize that we cannot do it. It must be you through us. So help us today.